If you're just getting into long-range hunting, or you're looking to increase your skills as a marksman, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Extreme Outer Limits Podcast.
Welcome to the Extreme Outer Limits Podcast. I'm here with my wife, Chris, for this episode, or this podcast, I should say.
We're used to saying episode, yeah. So it's just natural.
We're going to kind of bring everybody up to speed. I know that naturally, a lot of you guys might have seen the television show, but for some of you guys that have not, and maybe just catching the podcast for the first time, we kind of want to do a bio. So without further ado, let's break down your bio, kid.
Oh, boy.
All right. So I'll kind of go through the interview process with you and ask you questions that I feel would be, maybe interesting or relevant. You're in a kind of a unique position. You're right. A female, and I will say unique in the sense that you are currently, as far as I know, the only female co-host doing long-range hunting.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm a veteran now.
Right? You've been at this game a while.
I have. I think 2010 we started doing this, so we're at 7 years now, been shooting long-range, obviously
filming it. In front of the world.
Yeah, in front of the world.
Yeah. So if I was a listener, take me way back, back to, quite honestly, we're both on our second marriage. We have kids that are partially grown up to some that are grown up in college and careers. So you were a business owner before, you had a salon.
Yeah, believe it or not, I owned a tanning and nail salon in my hometown. I still live in my hometown. And I did it as a hobby. It was just, I was a stay-at-home mom. And once the kids went to school full-time, and I was no longer horribly involved, with their schooling, it was something that I just always wanted to do. So I bought a tanning salon and nail salon and had employees and whatnot. And basically ran my own business. It was fun. It was social for me. It was an outlet outside of the home. And that's what I did for 7 years, actually, when I met you. I actually was doing that. But even to go back farther, I grew up on a farm. I grew up on a cattle farm. We raised beef, and we had we did all the farming that went along with that, which is your growing of your grain and your hay. And we also had lots of different fruit and filbert and walnut and all different kinds of facets.
Anything you could do on a farm.
Yeah, 70s and 80s. So yeah, that dates me a little bit. But grew up doing that. Learned how to be a hard worker. My dad had three girls, so we all three were tomboys, I guess you would call us. We were the
hence
kids.
The reason you wanted to go straight to the tanning and nail salon.
I just kind of wanted to kind of become a girl. That not that I wasn't really
I'm
girly,
show
but
them
I'm not girly.
A tomboy.
I'm not girly. I try to be sometimes, but I'm not really girly. But I learned my work ethic. I think growing up doing that, showing cows and learning how to take care of animals and stuff. My dad and my uncles and whatnot hunted. Us girls went to hunting camp, but really didn't do any of the hunting. I think my mom hunted every once in a while, but most of the time we were hanging out with the aunts and the grandparents back at camp. So I grew up around it, but I never was a hunter myself.
Right, not fully engaged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I'm kind of skipping around here, but I just wanted to back up and make sure that everybody, kind of got a feel for who I was pre-adult, which,
sure.
Makes a difference. Most people think, in my opinion, most people say, well, you must have grown up hunting. You must have been, a little kid running around with your bow. I wasn't that person. I didn't do that. And I have the utmost respect for the women in the field that absolutely did grow up like that, because there's a lot of women out there that did. I kind of wish that I would have. I've definitely changed the way my kids have grown up. Because now that I'm involved in the outdoor industry and that we are a hunting family,
we've brought our kids into it.
It's interesting to see how our kid dynamic has laid out to kind of cross paths with what you're saying. Seems like our biggest proponent right now of hunting is your daughter, right? So my stepdaughter. And she's the oldest and the most engaged in it right now.
And she came into it the latest, I would say, because the other kids started as early teens, like as soon as they could get their hunting
Yeah, and she's
starting
in her
done.
Early 20s.
Yeah, she was like, hey, you guys kind of left me out of this whole thing. but she is
bad
the
on
one.
My part a little bit. She's such a girly girl, I just assumed you're probably not going to want to go hunting. But,
and she's not really a girly girl either. Nah. I mean, she's a lot like me. She can be, but she doesn't have to be.
Right.
But, and now her difficulties with hunting are coming because she's getting ready to start dental school. So she's going to have lots of reasons why she can't go hunting. Mm-hmm. And we're going to probably have to see her take a break for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe so.
But Austin's up and coming. Mm-hmm. Your youngest. Mm-hmm. He's up and coming, been doing it a couple of years now. And he's excited about hunting season coming up.
Yep.
It'll be fun for us again. It'll be the third year that he's gotten to hunt. So.
All right. Well, enough of the kid stuff. It's easy for you to go there when you're a parent.
It is.
Let's get back on you a little bit here. All right. So we've got an idea, you know, where you came from, what you were doing, and then all of a sudden just drop me into the mix, right?
Wow. Okay. So basically, you took me hunting. Actually, we went on several scouting trips.
Yeah.
First off. So we went scouting for bear, if I recall. And I remember the first time you handed me a pair of binoculars. I'm pretty sure I called them goggles for the longest time.
Yes.
I didn't even call them binoculars because I didn't really know what I was supposed to do with them. But I can remember looking through them and thinking, what am I supposed to see? Because a person that first starts out with binoculars, honestly, probably even a child, has no idea what it's supposed to look like on the other side, because I couldn't really see anything but trees. And of course, we were looking at things that were thousands of yards away, which I knew nothing different. I thought that's what everybody did. But
you mean
you were different.
You mean they don't?
You were different. I found that out later, that you were different. And what you were teaching me, I was learning firsthand for the first time.
Oh, it was a thing of beauty for me because you didn't know the difference between anything. So if I told you this is what we were going to do, you just took it at face value, like, all right, I guess this is what we were doing.
Right. I don't know how long it was before I actually asked you what I was supposed to see. Because I think it might have been a couple scouting trips before I got the nerve up to say, am I supposed to be able to see something in these things?
I remember it still vividly. I said, okay, listen, I don't know exactly what you see, but we're looking for needles and haystacks, not elephants and pastures.
Right.
And then
I was looking for elephants.
Yeah, because you just assume, well,
it's going to be this big animal that's going to pass in front of my binos, and I'm going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
And you would see things, and I would be like, oh, yeah, but I didn't see it.
There's the truth right there.
See it. I had no idea.
Never going to admit that on the TV show.
That's a long time ago. Come on now.
All right.
Everybody's got to start somewhere.
Okay. So we go scouting. We were dating. All this kind of stuff's going on.
We spent a lot of time on the mountain is what we did.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean.
Not the average dating couple.
No.
Most people, when they're dating, they're doing different things than what we were doing.
I mean, we were doing some of those things, but we were also still trying to go do the things that I wanted to do, right? I guess let's be honest with each other. At the time, it was you were probably just going along because I said I wanted to go. And
it was exciting for me. Right. I love the outdoors. I always have. So being out in the elements didn't bother me. Camping didn't bother me. Being dirty didn't bother me. I don't like bugs very much, but we got used to it.
Yeah.
So that's how it started.
That's how it started, right? Drop me in the mix. We're doing a little scouting, and you're trying to figure out, what the hell am I looking for?
Right.
Why are we here? What are we trying to do?
Right.
All right. So let's fast forward the clock a little bit. First time that you got on the trigger. Now, admittedly, you'd shot some pistols. You shot clay pigeons, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, you
had
a life before me.
Before.
There's no doubt about that. But we go into this from scouting into spring bear, it was, and I remember saying, you know, hey, let's take a shot. Let's see how you shoot. Let's kind of go through these functions. Let's roll the bolt. Let's do the safety. Let's do these kind of things. And you really had no idea the distance or anything on the preparation of the shots that I was saying, let's go ahead and do.
No, I thought everybody shot that far. I didn't.
You still remember the first shot you took?
I do, but I think that people don't realize I had no idea. And there's probably a lot of women or even boys that have no idea what 800 yards represents. What is that? I mean, is over there, is that 200 yards? Is it 800 yards? I had no clue. Not a clue. I didn't even understand how you
it was just
would
a
know
number.
That. Yeah, it was just a number to me. So if you told me to shoot at that rock, we would find it in the binos, and I actually would find it. And I would lay down, which is how you taught me how to shoot. We never put it on sticks. We never, did anything like that. We just started out by laying down, which I thought was nothing abnormal. But a lot of people say, wow, I can't shoot prone, or I've never shot prone, which we get that at the shooting schools all the time. We get 65-year-old men out there saying, I have never shot prone, which is hard for me to believe. But yeah, I remember the shot. Was Nathan with us?
No, not that one. That was just us.
So tell me, you're asking me if I remember the shot. Remind me.
I think it was 805 yards or so. It was kind of it was before the MOA rifle days, obviously.
It was my 300 Ultra Macmillan rifle, right?
I'm not even so set on that was the case.
Oh, it might have been one of your
I think it was just
rifles.
A gun that I had gunsmith together back then.
That was probably 18 pounds. I don't think I could carry it.
Of course. I mean, back then to get a long-range rifle that was under 16 pounds, that was almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Now, there definitely was a constant. We were definitely on Burger Bullets, and we were definitely on Night Force Scopes, but we weeded through a lot of different rifle combinations of, this barrel, that barrel, whatever. Anyway, I'm getting into technical stuff, but we had to kind of weed our way into success on that, ultimately end up what we're doing. But, I remember. It was about 805 yards, and I remember you taking the shot and actually connecting. Mm-hmm. And you really had no idea what you'd even done.
No.
You just, that's supposed to happen, right? That's what I'm supposed to do.
How did you feel about that?
I was kind of excited, right? Because I think guys naturally get in their own heads about, even if it's as simple as laying a group down at 100 yards, you get in your head about it. And so your performance might slip based on, wherever your emotions are in that deal. So to see you lay down and smack one out at just over 800 yards and connect on the first shot, it showed me, okay, well, she's got some skill. Or at least what I can mold into skill.
Skill might have just been, we don't know yet.
Well, you didn't let the emotion get in the way of the game. You just had a job to do, went through the steps, and got the job done. So that was pretty cool. So anyway, continue on, though. So here we are, right?
I was just curious because I know how competitive you are. So I was just wondering if it actually kind of pissed you off. So that's why I was wanting to say, how did you feel when I made that shot?
Well, naturally, like any good marriage, we're going to look one another eye to eye, and we're going to have an agreement. And then when we don't look and you walk your way, you're going to know what you know, and I'm going to know what I know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always going to say I've got her by one, and you're always going to say I've got him by one. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's okay. All right. That's good, healthy competition to do a little better. Anyway, no, I was pumped. I was like, all right, you can shoot. Let's do this. So let's see where it takes you. So where did it take you?
Well, it took me to hunts with you, where you were the only one with tag.
Okay, well, now's the time, right? This is the uncensored version. Why were you going? I mean, I know why you're going. Why don't you tell everybody else? So you're a wife, you're a mother, you're all these things, and you're a business owner at this point. Why were you going hunting?
I enjoyed it.
And?
I wanted to be with you.
Yeah.
I wanted to hang out with you. You were pretty cool.
Whatever. Whatever.
No, I did. I a lot of wives, I always knew we had groups of girls that I used to run around with. And when their husbands were gone hunting, that's when, we had like little get-togethers and stuff. So there was a lot of husbands that would hunt, and they never, ever dreamed of taking their wives. And the fact that you wanted me to go with you was pretty exciting for me. It's like, my girlfriends never get to do this. I'm going to try it. And I loved it.
I remember you saying, that you'd rather be involved and have a unique scenario in your relationship or whatever. Now, we both know that that comes with this up and down, right? Like, there's days you just soon shoot me in the face and to look at me.
Well, and there's hunts that I tell you go on by yourself and I'll hang back. But there's a lot, most of the time, I mean, that's where I wanted to be.
You solidified from early on that I'm going to be a part of this because I'm not going to sit at home being a hunting widow, so to speak. Right?
I think I actually used that word. Yeah, I do remember that because I was pretty adamant that I was not going to be in a relationship where my significant other was gone 6 months out of the year. And we all know that that's about what we're gone. But and just be hanging out waiting for him to get back. That was not something I was really excited to do. I know a lot of wives do that. People that are married to military, that's something they just take as part of the package. Part of the package. But for me, I was saying to myself, I could do this. It would be different if I was absolutely not interested, then I would have to take that back seat and I would have to stay home and whatever else. But I was intrigued. I was excited about it. I enjoyed being out there. I considered myself tough enough, I should say. Tough enough.
Stubborn is what I call it.
Yeah, that could be.
I think it's purely stubborn. I mean, you're moderately tough, but you're so damn stubborn that
moderately
I think that carried
tough,
you.
Huh?
Well, let's just give an example. So now we've kind of got through the scouting to the hunting. And you mentioned earlier, well, you'd go when you didn't even have a tag.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember a certain hunt that we went on for a bear in the fall, 100 degrees. And you went out with nothing more than a pair of Romeos and hiked around till your feet burned.
You didn't tell me not to. You must have been looking at me like, is she going to wear those? But you definitely never said it.
I think that was still early on when you
I
feel like everything.
I was excited that I owned a pair of Romeos already, so.
You always whine that your boots make your feet claustrophobic.
Now I whine. Okay.
So it's like if you don't have to wear hunting boots that you've got to lace tight to your feet.
That's the Romeos. Those are like slippers to me.
Yeah.
And some people probably have no idea what those are, but if you're from the Northwest, you know what they are. But they're also...
like a slip-on work boot. They don't lace.
Georgia boots is what they call them. I don't even know why.
And so your feet can do this trick in them, which they did. Until your feet were completely burned.
Because we had to go down hills that I did not understand how we were going to get back up when we were heading down them, but I followed you.
Well, I was
not that smart at the time, and I actually followed you. And then we had to, I mean, we seriously climbed through blackberry bushes, like through them. And I think I was in a short sleeve shirt.
Welcome to Western Oregon, right?
Yeah. Nowadays, I'm a little smarter. I go around them.
Okay. So let's talk about the mountains. Let's talk about the hiking, right? Because one of the funny stories you tell me, and you didn't tell me this for years after, so this story is not that old even as of today.
Yeah,
I remember you telling me, let's just say for conversation, 4 years ago, you said, you know, when we first started this, and you used to say to me that we're going to go over there, and I would point, and that over there would be however far it was. you tell the story, but it's funny, your perception of that deal.
And it was absolutely my perception. When you would say, well, we have to just get on the other side of that ridge. It was one of those things where I heard what you said, but I was thinking to myself, there's absolutely no way that we can do that. How are we going to do that? And I would actually, I think I did ask you at some point, how? And you were like, walk? I was like thinking that's going to take us 3 days. I mean, in my mind, there was just no feasible way to get over there on our feet. It was like, do we have an ATV or something, horseback? And you would tell me, no, it's going to take us approximately, 15 minutes. And I'd say, there's no way, he's lying to me just to get me to follow him. And I would follow him. And it would take us about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, and it's, again, it's one of those things that you think there is no way. I mean, stand at the bottom of a ridge. Somebody that's from an area that's just completely flat would understand what I was feeling. They would look at you like, I'm going to go up that or I'm going to go down that. There's no way. I mean, and as the years went on, there was things that I experienced that I thought, how did I not die? Because I really, there was times where I was just following. I was just like a child
extreme
following. But we would be going, it'd be pouring down rain. sticker bushes wrapping around your legs as you're sliding down this shale face that has water running down it. And the bottom is a long ways down there. Yeah. So you may look at it and be like, oh, she's overreacting. Today, it doesn't bother me. But when we first started doing this, there was days when I got to the bottom or the top of the hill and was like, I don't know if I should do this again.
You know, it's funny to hear you, and I'll steer us back on track here in a minute, but it's funny how every once in a while I field emails. You don't see them very much because we keep the hate emails away from you.
Yeah.
obviously I see them. Mm-hmm. And you would be amazed at how many people that are obviously anti whatever mm-hmm. we do for whatever reason have really no clue at all mm-hmm. what we're doing. Because you hear long-range hunting, you know, not long-range is not hunting. We'll just keep it at that. It's just shooting. It's just target practice. And it's like, man, you have never been to the Western states, or you probably would not be opening your mouth right now.
Come on out with us.
Yeah, because listening to you tell this, it's not me, right? Like, sometimes I say it in a way that I feel like I got to convince this person that, you know, maybe you should give us a chance, and maybe you should have an open mind that maybe you just aren't seeing it exactly. But to listen to you say it, it's not biased for me. I'm just listening to you tell the story. And it solidifies that, honestly, these people have no clue what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like you're saying, going down these hills, how far is it? You know, this country can be big, and we go into some big, big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then here I am dragging you into all of it.
Well, and we also can look at things where somebody would not even be looking in those areas at all, and we will look there now. You know, whereas before I thought to myself, you know, I needed to find something that was right over there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, in fact, we can take our binos and look at things that people never even imagined we should be looking at, which is how I learned. So that's how I, that's what
remember,
I know.
Remember when we made our pilot show, it was Spring Bear, Oregon.
Mm.
So I don't know if we had a timeline this, we could kind of connect it back into your little bio here. Is I believe that would have only been, was that your second or third year of actually getting out scouting and hunting with me?
When we actually did
when we filmed the pilot for Extreme Outer Limits.
We were filming.
Was that maybe
it in
third year of you really kind of getting involved?
Maybe, no, probably two.
Okay.
Because I think we filmed most of that. We didn't submit it until 11, but I think we filmed most of it in 10.
In 10.
And we got,
yeah, so a couple years in.
Yeah.
I remember saying to the camera at that point, I said, you know, see where that bear is and then see where we came from, because you mm-hmm. could see a landing that we had our vehicle mm-hmm. parked on. And when you think about that overall distance, it was some ridiculous number. It was almost like, you know, 3/4 of a mile or something each way.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're talking about where I shot my spring bear.
Yeah.
I took pictures of that because I just could not believe
that was insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. I took pictures from the bear, actually, to the truck.
Yeah.
That I could see on a landing that was.
Did you feel like you weren't hunting? You were just target shooting?
No, hell no.
don't answer,
hunting.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, we found that bear in our binos, and we'd been looking all day, and I found a bear, and I just laid down, and we found a good place to shoot from.
Got
and
the work done. I'm just joking about the other people, but anyway. All right. So, okay.
Can't please everybody.
No. So let's connect on something real quick. So, you know, I never really thought about it till here we are, podcast, loose talk. Have you ever thought about the fact that you're the only female that we know of in the long range game?
Never even crossed my mind, no. No, because there's a lot of talented women out there that hunt.
And no doubt, right? We're not comparing by any means. There's all kinds of talented people
everywhere.
But
I've never really thought of the fact that I'm the only one that shoots long range, no. I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
They should come out.
Just dawned on me. Just dawned on me that's really the case. I mean, now granted, part of our team, the wives and things like that, you know, we've been kind of teaching and nurturing anywhere we can. But the fact that on television, mm-hmm. doing the TV game, and nobody else doing what you're doing, that's kind of interesting. So, well, you know, it's kind of touched on a little bit of where you come from and what you're doing and a little bit of how you got here. But where do you see yourself going? I mean, I know we get wrapped up in day-to-day stuff between, you know, my vision and your vision might be very different, right? Because I'm worrying about always the next hunt and the next animal and the next cool gun and the next cool scope or whatever it mm-hmm. is. You balance a different set of emotions. You know, you've got office stuff, you've got children, you're kind of the glue that's still got to hold the family together between, you know, hey, we've got to go on this trip, that trip, this family function, whatever. But now your life is pretty much evolved into a career of hunting. Where are you going? What are you going to do? What do you see in the future?
I don't know. You know, I always wanted to hunt a moose, and we did that last year. That was pretty exciting. I don't know where I see myself going. I'm just living the dream. I'm honestly just in it, you know, with you. There's not a lot of thought that I put into what I want to do for myself. I generally am always thinking about what we should do for our obviously our television series, as well as our companies and our family. And our companies have taken on a whole new
Beast.
Yeah, I don't even know what to call it anymore.
And
so
between that and
trying to keep the family, you know, together, we've got a lot of things going on between the two of us with five kids. We've got, you know, a lot of things going on at all times. So as long as I can keep us somewhat grounded at some times and keep us organized on our hunting schedule and whatnot, trade shows, whatever we're doing at the moment.
You know what's funny about this? Let me cut in for a second. So I live on a Google Calendar on my phone. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, you populate, you know, 98% of the stuff that's on there.
Right.
But what has been funny, just on a total personal note lately, is about the last 2 years, you handle, like you said, trade shows, hunts, you know, travel days in and out, mm-hmm. all this other stuff. Heck, you even handle the dates a lot of for our own camp, right? Mm-hmm. The Star Valley camp. But now I found that I'm the one that plans our vacations.
Because I don't have time to, nor do I even think about it.
You're just ready to melt down at night. Yeah. And at night when it's time when everybody else would, you know, go to bed and mm-hmm. you maybe prop a couple pillows up and you're going to watch TV. Mm-hmm. I'll get on a tablet and I'll be like, okay, we got to go on a retreat. We got to vacate from all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Like we just went on the jet boat tour there in mm-hmm. Southern Oregon and we went up the coastline. And the funny thing is I planned all that. And it was so interesting. This is really the first year that you actually were just okay with it. I don't think you hardly asked me.
I was excited.
Where are we going? What are we doing?
You
just said, I'm there. Let me know.
Tell me what day I'm leaving and what I need to pack.
Yeah, just what do I need to put in the suitcase?
It was nice. I do a lot of planning, a lot of scheduling for us and our employees. And so it gets to a point sometimes where it's like, I don't even want to make another flight arrangement. I don't want to make another... You know, and I appreciate that very much. It was nice to have that, and I'm just going to expect that now. So
right.
You might have dug yourself
so
a hole.
So if the vacation sucks, it's on me.
I'll let you go ahead and handle that.
It'd probably be hard to suck as long as it's not any feel of work. I think
there
I'm okay.
Yeah.
All right. So before we wrap it up, you know, we've got a good year coming this year. Is there anything in particular you're looking at, you know, that you're excited about this year? And I'll let you answer that. And then I want to give you a little hint. I know we've got a big one coming next year.
Oh, yeah.
But
we don't want to spoil that.
What about this year? What about this year?
I would probably say the New Mexico hunt that we're doing together came about in a strange, you know, roundabout way at a trade show this year. Mm-hmm. We actually met a gentleman at the Portland trade show. And Jeff Lester,
yep,
with Hunt Hard, mm-hmm. and he was getting you interested in elk hunt, which
yep.
has kind of been your thing this year that you wanted to do. But
I go on kicks.
Yeah, you go on kicks. Yeah, it used to be mule deer. You know, I don't know if it'll ever be bear, but you never know.
They
seem to kick your butt, so we may not go there. But
ouch, that hurts.
They kick both of our butts. Damn. Anyways, it was really all about you. The hunt was all about you. I was excited that you were going on this hunt. I went and bought hats from the guy. You know, I really liked their hats. And you kept going back over there, going back over there, going back over there. And I don't think that we even got a hold of that tag for... I think that we were at a different show and you said, what if...
Well, we keep building on the relationships,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You know, when you kind of connect up with some good people that... it naturally just comes together, mm-hmm. I guess would be the way to speak, right? If you're gonna build on that relationship, it comes easy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we got to where you're going to
go.
So
you got a tag.
Yeah, I got a tag.
And I usually, you know, that's fine. You get a tag.
You're just going to come along.
And I was just going to come along. Because that's exciting for me too. I live through you when you get excited about something, and you know, I'm right behind you, I'm right beside you, however mm-hmm. you want to look at it. So when the second tag came available, I was pretty excited. I don't know if you could tell how excited I was, but I was like, you'd really buy that for me?
So we're talking about, just to be clear, is Gila.
Yeah.
Gila, New Mexico, trophy elk. It should be an excellent hunt. So
yeah, which, and I haven't hunted a lot of elk in my hunting career, so it's even makes it even more exciting for me, because you know, it's just, I'm going somewhere completely different. Have I hunted in New Mexico?
Yeah,
Barbary, but we didn't. Yeah,
we did mule deer before as well. But
that's right.
I had done some other hunts, mm-hmm. But this is your time, New Mexico.
This is,
your first time for New Mexico,
and with it being where it's at.
Yeah,
and I believe the gentleman that we're going with is, you know, top notch. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great hunt.
Yep.
That's probably my most exciting thing I'm looking forward to in this fall.
So one last little teaser before we wrap this thing up. 2018's something we've kind of got that's really exciting. You always enjoy the horse riding too. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to going up with Arctic Red for the mm-hmm. sheep, adult sheep, moose, and mountain caribou combo. Mm-hmm. So I know that's been pretty exciting for you, and kind of came about again without your knowing, really. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that one's kind of cool.
Yeah, you kind of pulled that one out of your pocket while I was working the Portland show and you were working the Utah show. Which
can't let me go anywhere without you.
Yeah, definitely don't let you go to the auctions.
All
so
right.
That's exciting, though. I mean, that will definitely be one.
I mean, we've got, you know, for all you guys at home, we've got obviously a full roster mm-hmm. of hunts, but just wanted to pick your brain a little bit about what's kind of got you excited, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We get drowned in the work and you know, gotta healthy maintain the family the best we can. So,
but hunting's still fun,
right? We want to keep it fun.
Yeah, I think that if that ever goes away, which it shouldn't, but if it did, I think you would, you know, we'd hang our hat.
Absolutely.
But it's still exciting. We still enjoy it to the fullest, and we get excited when it's time to go hunting. And as long as we're still feeling all those emotions, I think that we're still doing, you know, what is the saying that you always say about if you can make any hobby?
There's an old saying that goes, if you
try hard enough,
you can make any hobby a job.
And that's true. That's absolutely true.
You've
got
to be very careful with how you balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thanks for being in the hot seat. I know it's not too bad with me hammering you, but I think this podcast will be an exciting venture. We're in the early episodes of it, and we're going to get some more good information out there, you know, from Kelly, and get his involvement and get some information out there for me. And then we're going to start moving on to hunts and gear related type stuff. And hopefully you kill some good stuff, and we'll drive you back out and get you on the hot seat again.
Sounds good. I'm ready.
All right.